When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, welcome to Wrestling Made Me Cry. Sending out my We Are Live tweet. 1 second. I didn't have it queued up. Guys, listen, it's been a weekend for me. I'm a little bit sunburnt. My nephew turned 5. He's getting so old. He had a Minecraft birthday party because he's like obsessed with Minecraft lately.
That's really cute.
I know. And he's just like the best, but it's been a weekend. But listen, we've had a lot of great wrestling this week and last week and everything in between. My name is Kylie, this is Collins, and this is Wrestling Made Me Cry, where we talk about the positive aspects of wrestling, all the fun things that happened, not the mean things that happened. And you know what, there were a lot of those this week too, but you know what,
I don't know what you mean, Kylie, at all.
I think that discourse has run its course. Rob says hello. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
I love Rob. We have a whole list of people that we want to get on the show, and we just need to start cycling through them. Last week, I don't know if any of you were here last week. That was chaos. We had like 7 guests on one episode.
So, I mean, I was like, it felt like a fever dream. Like, what is happening? How many people were in here? And it was excellent. And I loved it.
It was such a good time.
I felt like it was kind of like a who's who in great wrestling Twitters.
Yes. I'm in a few group chats for like live shows and things. So I just said, hey, anybody want to come? And then people actually wanted to come. And I was very surprised.
Oh, I love that.
but you know what? That was a good time. And we still have some WrestleMania things that we want to talk about because we didn't even get to everything. That's how jam-packed WrestleMania weekend was.
It's crazy. Have you finished your taxes?
I did.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. I had like all, because I worked 3 jobs last year, I think, and I had all those W-2s, and you have to input them all individually.
You can't see them.
Do all these different deductions. It's listen, American tax system. The viewers are leaving. They're like, I did not sign up for tax. it's a whole ordeal. But yes, taxes are done. I have actually received my return and everything.
It was
yes.
That was quick. I'm still waiting for my little return. Learned this round, I was like, I didn't get like an I-99 for, you know, something I was supposed to, and I was okay, you know, you got side gigs, right? I learned that the threshold is like $20,000 before you get like an I-9 in Washington State or something.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because I looked at the website of like where I have my side gigs going, and I was like, and it had in the, you know, thing you may know, and it's like on January 1st or whatever went into effect that, you know, content creators that don't make more than $20,000 won't be getting. So I was like, well, for my safekeeping, I screenshotted it. Put it in a PDF. I can't speak.
You got there.
What the heck is wrong? I eventually got there. Thanks. But yeah. So if the government is listening, please don't audit me, because
let's say hi to some people. We have Maria and Amanda,
Eddie.
And Cyber, who's a new subscriber. Oh, it was meant to be.
Welcome,
everybody. Listen, we just got to jump right into it, because this is a jam-packed episode. And I don't know if we're going to get to everything we had planned.
That's fine.
There's a lot. So let's start with WrestleMania. Let's cover like everything that we didn't get to talk about last week. And then we'll just go from there. So let's talk about Bayley, because I want to talk about Bayley, because I don't think we talked for a single second last week about Bayley, and I felt really bad about it.
Yeah, you should feel bad about it, because that, so as someone who invested time in the Black and Gold, you know, the NXT, watching the Four Horsewomen, and then only three went up and Bayley stayed on NXT, and like kind of watching her like get so far and then not. You know, and they get so far and then not. We saw that similarly with Becky, and seeing it as like, this is clear, written in the stars. It was Bayley's moment. And then the day before, I was like, what if she doesn't get it?
You psyched yourself out.
I psyched myself out. I loved the Paramore music in the promo package, which made me a little sad that like, they weren't performing live, because you know, my little emo heart goes, I want Paramore. But the match itself was super great. I loved the psychology of it all, you know, Bayley being the bigger, you know, wrestler, and Io just trying to constantly ground her. You know, opponent, so that she could do her high flying move. So I don't know. It was fantastic. Definitely cried when she won. Definitely felt the moment. Definitely screamed. And the people I was watching it with, which were my in-laws, were like, after I screamed in the opening match with Damian Priest cashing in. And then there was just a lot of screaming and crying, you know?
It was a lot of really great surprises. Mm-hmm. And another thing that makes me feel personally invested in Bayley is like, during the pandemic, Bayley was one of the people who really like held down the fort, especially, you know, the Thunderdome was like kind of cheesy. Most people were not that into it. The wrestling was also not that great during the pandemic. It was not just for WWE, for all of wrestling. I think it was a rough spot. And Bayley was what, even though when Bayley was injured during the pandemic, she was really on commentary on the mic. She was really a bright spot in a time when a lot of people were in really, really rough spots and they were feeling very afraid and upset and all those kind of things. So I love that Bayley was rewarded for that, not just the pandemic, but then also, being the leader of, you know, Damage Control and all these women who came in and some who came back to WWE who had been released or had their contracts had expired. And being a veteran presence and an identifiable face and so reliable. And I think that those are the people who should be champ. And I think I think Bayley has been that her entire time in WWE. So I was so super excited. And Bayley's just also a good person. Just a really great friend, like going and supporting Mercedes everywhere and Trinity everywhere, popping up in these other promotions just to see her friends do well. Just such an all around great person. And I just, of the four horsewomen, I think Bayley kind of gets pushed aside. Because Charlotte is such like a major presence, and Becky has all of, you know, the man lore behind her and like the edginess, and Mercedes is such a personality that it's Mercedes just stands out among all of them, if I'm being honest, in my eye. And Bayley just kind of gets like, oh, she's just the fourth horsewoman. And that's really depressing to me. That's really sad. Yeah. So I don't think under the Triple H era that Bayley's been in that spot. I think Bayley's Triple H knows what he has in Bayley. And I'm just excited. I'm really excited about the women's division in WWE, cautiously excited. Because even though I don't watch or support WWE, you know, as consistently as other people, I do support the women there.
Yeah.
Because I think that in itself is a act of feminism. So
I'm excited about that. I love that so much. I do have to say, watching Bayley go from basically like a super fan character, like the hugger was like that super fan, to going to something bigger, something more than just an afterthought, the person who didn't get called up. And you're right. I remember the pandemic era, and it just.
Yeah. It was rough. The Thunderdome, I think, was a good idea in theory.
Yeah.
But I think for a lot of people, it just kind of, it took away from it all. AEW did better with, you know, the having the wrestlers ringside and that kind of thing. But even that, I feel like, sorry, Kate is in the chat. Kate really likes my hair today. And then, I knew it was you, Kate. I was going to respond after I had my discussion about feminism to talk about my looks. No, I think Bayley is just a wrestler that in 20 years time, we're going to look back and say, not like the women's revolution, WWE making its comeback, like all these things, none of it was possible without Bayley.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like now in the moment, Bayley is not getting enough credit. And so, you know what? We just need to champion the cause. It's like TMDK and Bayley. That's the wrestling made me cry.
Okay. Agenda. So what if we wear the TMDK yellow windbreaker? I don't know. Is it a windbreaker? Is it a raincoat? I don't know. But then underneath, we wear the new Bayley like tie-dye shirt.
Yeah, we'll put together the look.
All right. I'm into it. We just need pants, socks, and shoes.
Yeah. Do any wrestlers have branded pants out there? Someone in the chat will know. Besides the Young Bucks. They used to have pants.
And I had the Young Bucks pants.
So did I. I was the Young Bucks for Halloween. And then on an episode of Tag Talk, I was the Young Bucks again. And that costume is somewhere. I have a closet behind me over here, and there's just a bunch of costumes. The Young Bucks, the Fashion Police, Sting. Yeah, a lot of them. We have a super chat from Dan who said, Bayley has been a reliable hand to WWE, and you can see that she loves it. Definitely a legend. 100,000%. I think Bayley's also, I think, one of those people who, when she's not the star or she's not the focal point, she's happy to play the part and elevate someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you reach those levels of stardom, that's a little bit difficult to find because people kind of like cling onto that fame that they had. Moxley's the same way. Moxley is always going to be solidly in the main event scene, but I think it's very clear that Mox has no problem elevating other people. Thank you for the super chat.
Yeah, thank you.
So continuing with WrestleMania, let's talk about Cody, because I don't think we talked about Cody at all.
Adrenaline in my soul. It's the song.
Cody Rhodes.
I don't. So when people are singing it, and I know that like lots of people say, I mean, hello, every time that Adam Copeland Edge's music comes on, I'm singing that at the top of my lungs because
that's a good song.
I mean, there was probably, it was definitely from Wrestle Dream until the end of the year that Metalingus, I was just playing on repeat. Yeah. So I know that there has to be people who've played Cody's song on repeat that much and that they know all the words. I'm just not one of them. But there's just something about Cody Rhodes that is very likable, and it's been that way since his first run in WWE. And seeing all the backstage stuff of like Cody getting the Rolex that his father sold. Does that make you cry or not? That match was also insane. I think it was very WrestleMania, and it was perfect. And the fact that Roman and Cody went, like, They didn't just like wrestle for 5 minutes and then that was it. They like wrestled for what, a solid like 20 minutes? I don't know. I'm not a numbers person.
No, me either. A match could be 15 minutes or 45 minutes, and I could not tell you.
It was just a substantial actual match before the shenanigans. And there's something about Cody Rhodes that makes you, even though that sometimes I love being a Cody Rhodes hater, there's just something about him that I want to cheer and I want to get behind him. And I want to, you know, put everything I can into cheering him on from behind my behind my television, you know, like it, he can't hear me, but I feel like I'm part of it. So, oh, look, it was 34 minutes overall. So 20
minutes were legit wrestling. Yeah. Cody is one of those wrestlers that I think that I'll always look out for. Like I'll always support, simply because Cody leaving WWE and going on the independents and signing with ROH and working ROH in New Japan and like working with the Elite and all that kind of stuff. I think that he was instrumental in building not only being the Elite, not only, you know, the Elite to the point where like they're winning the IWGP World Championship and like all that kind of stuff. I think Cody Rhodes, if Cody Rhodes doesn't leave WWE, AEW never happens. Mm. And I think that in itself is a testament. Like, I feel like that in itself shows that Cody Rhodes will always be not only a legend, but one of the people that I think young wrestlers should look up to. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely think that AEW now, a lot of the things they're kind of working through, a lot of the problems they're working through, they're still relying on a lot of the ideas and the motivations that Cody introduced. And if you know me, you know I'm a big Young Bucks fan. I love Kenny Omega. I love all those things. I'm not, like, dogging them. I'm not saying, like, he's better with Cody. But I do think that Cody's mind for wrestling, not – listen, the Cody-verse was the Cody-verse. We don't talk about her. But I think Cody, when he thinks of the industry and, like, the business things, I think Cody knows what's best for business. And so I will always support him simply because I love AEW and I love – his legacy in ROH and his legacy in New Japan. And I love the stories that he did, especially his feud with Kenny Omega. So even if I don't like Roman Reigns, I'm not that into the bloodline. Like if you watch Tag Talk, you know that it's not new information. If you follow me on Twitter, but I genuinely root for Cody and that is enough for me. And I think, I don't know where Cody goes from here. I don't know if it's The Rock. I don't know if it's Seth Rollins. I don't know if it's Roman again. I don't know if it's Tama Tonga. Like, I don't know. But what I do know is that I think Cody's at a point where he is just going to sustain, like, the high status simply because of the respect people have for him. Mm-hmm. And I think AEW fans, when they turned on Cody, it was never that much about not liking Cody as a person. It was, like, a dissatisfaction with the Codyverse and like the bad stories and all that kind of stuff. It was never about Cody. So I'm excited. I think
my favorite part about Cody Rhodes in AEW specifically, and it speaks to who he is as a wrestler, always wanting to put over other people, is when he was the TNT champion and he was just having that open challenge week after week after week, having people that eventually did sign like Ricky Starks, like Eddie Kingston, but also having like Warhorse come out, who is like an indie wrestling god in a sense. Like just seeing things that go, you know, one after the other. I'm not saying that he's going to be treated like that, because I think WWE doesn't really treat their main title like that. But I think it would be really awesome to see Cody Rhodes kind of do like a open challenge, like maybe like a gauntlet something, because I know that WWE loves those gauntlet matches. Like that would be really fun to do on, you know, whatever, a SmackDown or a Raw before a pay-per-view. And
yeah, I don't know. And I think part of the reason why Cody's so good at that is he's okay. Yeah. Cody's not the most athletic wrestler. Like, I think we all can agree he's not Kenny Omega. He's not Will Ospreay. But I think what Cody is a very emotional wrestler. Mm-hmm. And he's a very good storyteller emotionally. And mm-hmm. so I think the reason why the TNT open challenges and the Brody Lee feud and all this stuff works so well is because Cody tries his damnedest to sell a story. Mm-hmm. And he uses, like, his acting skills. And he, like, I genuinely believe that he's invested in everything that he does because he is. And absolutely. So I think I can think of a lot of guys on the WWE roster who are not like that at all. Like, they're mm-hmm. very, like, I hate this word, but I can't think of another word. They're very just, like, one note.
Like, yeah.
And a lot of that is the WWE system. Then they're just brought up to be that way. But I think mm-hmm. Triple H has shown that he's kind of trying to reverse that trend and develop individuality among wrestlers and move away from this weird system where everybody's on the same playing field, unless you're a favorite, like Roman Reigns. So I think, because that's what Vince like sustained for so long. It was like, here's WWE, and then here's everybody who's in WWE. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see some of those guys work with Cody and see what he can pull out of them, if anything at all, like really test them in that way. And I think it would be a good time. Because if you think about the TNT Open challenges, and the people that stand out to me are like Eddie and Ricky, and like the promos mm-hmm. they cut about like, this is my one shot, this is my opportunity, mm-hmm. I'm going to go everything into it. There are a lot of guys who in WWE who could really, really benefit from that. And being mm-hmm. given that opportunity to be like in a position of desperation and fight and like claw their way back up. So WWE should, I would say WWE should probably do something along those lines, whether they will or not. I don't know. WWE likes to protect its world champions to almost like a detrimental extent. Yeah. Unless you're COVID-19, then.
I mean, the wrestlers that come to mind, like LA Knight.
Yes.
I went to the gas station, and the Slim Jim commercial with LA Knight is everywhere. Why? Like, he's at that caliber.
Yes.
I think that somebody had mentioned AJ. Thanks, Kaden. That would be a great feud, a great match. I mean, going back to, like, other great champions that are still there, Randy Orton getting involved would be fantastic. So there's a lot to choose from, a lot to go through, and I'm into it. You know, I agree. I'm not a Cody fan to the point that I'm getting his tattoo, but I am a Cody fan to the fact that I will turn on WWE programming to watch Cody Rhodes. So.
Yeah, I just have like a human respect for him. And also I respect, you know, the way he approaches wrestling. Because Cody absolutely. Is, not that Cody's old, but he's old enough that he's in a position where he's most likely the most experienced in the ring and, you know, all those kind of things. But I think that he is exactly the kind of champion WWE needs right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for Cody. Cyber says Cody's just the best and Mox too. Yes. Let's talk about Mox.
Jump right in.
So New Japan had shows, New Japan Windy City Riot. And at the show, John Moxley became, they're calling him the global Grand Slam champion, the first to win WWE world title, AEW world title, and the New Japan IWGP world title. So that is like, if you think about that, that's high key crazy.
Right.
Like,
insane.
Work your way up to the top of WWE, the top of AEW twice, which, I mean, there were CM Punk shenanigans in there, and it was a whole thing. And then also IWGP, the New Japan title. And that's just like, Moxley is, even though he's at the top of his game, he's clearly very respected by people backstage in these promotions and talent in these promotions, all the kind of things. I don't think we put enough respect on his name. When people talk about the best of all time, they bring up, you know, Bret Hart. They bring up Shawn Michaels. They bring up Kenny Omega. And Moxley's, like, never in this conversation. And I feel like he should be. Because if he seems like every time a promotion is in a rough spot, they call in John Moxley.
Right. So I was just showing my nephew, because he was asking who this Moxley person is, right? So I showed him how big of a deal he is, and he was like, okay. And then I showed him, remember at Double or Nothing, when he came through the crowd, came down, and the whole crowd is just, that's how I feel about Moxley all the time. Because he is baby girl to me. You know what I mean? Like, he's just, he's, okay. You know that chibi sticker that's on the AW shop?
Yes.
I have it, but I haven't committed to where I want to put it, because I feel like I need like 8 of them, because like I want to put it on everything I own, because Moxley is so baby and he's so like, I'm going to rip your head off, but also like baby. I don't know. I can't explain it. Anyways,
like, you can tell that he loves what he's doing mm-hmm. every second that he's there. And there's something so heartwarming about someone who he portrays this character that's, you know, rough and like violent and bloody. And probably if you saw him in public, you'd be very, very scared.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that he's not like that. One, because we, Renee Paquette, like everything she posts about him is like soft and sweet and kind. And then two, he's just like, every time he speaks about wrestling, it's so passionate. And it's so, it comes from a place where you could tell that this is everything to him. This is his life. Mm-hmm.
His promo after winning.
Yeah, he went away to get sober, and that was the longest vacation he took. He probably he probably should have taken a longer vacation.
Right.
But I respect the fact that he went away to get sober, because getting sober is like not easy at all. Anybody who's done it can tell you. And I respect it. And I think that he, for him, he's just one of those people that goes all in on something
mm-hmm.
and really worked hard to make it happen. Also, a super chat from Caden, who says, barricade for Mox's win. This shit is real to me. Yeah. It was a big win. And I think I had expected it. I don't know if you had thought that.
Versus Naito. I mean, Naito's had the, you know, because Naito won the G1. And then things are blanking out of my brain. So Naito's almost held this belt for like, what? I don't know. I'm going to look, because I didn't prepare myself for this. But it makes me want to fantasy book everything, because G1 is coming up in July.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of shows to go through. TZ and the Shota, like, shooter, you know. There's so many good things that are coming out of New Japan. And I also want to piggyback off of what you said, not to cut you off.
Mm-hmm.
But Moxley has always been the type of wrestler that goes, it's not about the money for me. Right? Mm-hmm. I have everything I need. I don't need a 10-year extension contract for WWE. He didn't need the money. He goes, I want to wrestle here. I want to wrestle here. I want to do this. And I want to do this. And that's what we want to see in wrestling. Some people just want to see the big superstars, the big ones that are making all the cash, getting all the brand deals, all the things. Moxley just wants to fight motherfuckers, you know, like he just mm-hmm. wants to bleed for this sport, and in more ways than actual getting color, but like he bleeds for wrestling. And mm-hmm. I think seeing him so passionate about wrestling makes me so passionate about wrestling, because it's not about like the politics and things that were negative, like specifically about this week. Moxley is one of the greats that is like, I just want to fight people, and I want to get all the like the accolades. I want to make other people look great too. And yeah,
he's just like, he's crazy. Really, really invested in wrestling being cool. I think that's what it comes down to. Not that there's not a space for the goofy stuff in wrestling, and I think even Moxley acknowledges that. But he's one of the guys who's like, I think wrestling is on a rebound. It's coming back. And I think Moxley is probably at the forefront of that. There's people talking about the G1 in the chat. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know who I think is going to win the G1, but I think for New Japan as a whole, this G1 is like the most important one since 2016, maybe, simply because New Japan has no stars. They have Zack Sabre Jr., they have Naito, and that is about it. And so they really need the people to show up for the G1 and show out for the G1. Because Moxley's champion and he's going to be a reliable champion, but Moxley's an AEW guy and New Japan, their Mox can carry that role. He can do everything he needs to do for New Japan. And I fully expect him to, but it's New Japan is in a really, really rough spot. And so I think this G1 and the build up to the G1 is like so super important. Shota Umino is a great star in New Japan, a future star. But I don't think Shota wins the G1.
I don't think he wins the G1.
I would be cool because I think Shota, like, I think Shota's still in a place where he is still very much like the minion of Jon Moxley. And so if Shota he's just not ready to be a G1 winner, a G1 finalist, maybe.
Yeah.
That would be cool. But Shota did beat Jungle Boy, Jack Perry. He did beat Jack Perry, scapegoat Jack Perry, with a new era for Jack Perry. which we're not going to talk about because I think it's contentious and I don't want people to be upset. But listen, this G1, pull in some guys from AEW. Like, really, you can use, there's guys like Lance Archer in AEW. There's guys in AEW, like you could Penta, like all these guys, you could put them in the G1 and just have them have great matches with all the young people in New Japan who are just not in a good spot. You never know what could come out of it.
I mean, you have four blocks to fill, right? Yes. And you have 8 people for each block. There are plenty of people to put in those scenarios. I think because Naito and Zack Sabre Jr. last year were in the same block, and I was torn, like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm very partial to Zack Sabre Jr., obviously.
Yeah.
but, like, seeing, like, Okada, you know, was in this, you know, spot. Sonata was in this spot. Like, so seeing, well, Osprey, like, there are big holes that are going to be in the G1 that need to be filled. And seeing people that have always been in the G1 for as long as I've been watching New Japan, it's kind of strange that.
Yeah.
Who was going to win? Yes, I have the jacket. I know, Kate. I know. And I'm not wearing it right now.
I love that Kate is in here, like, somewhat anonymously.
I do have the jacket. Honestly, like,
we have Shelton Benjamin, Josh Alexander. Gosh. Like, there's a lot of people that New Japan could pull in for this tournament. The question is, I think personally, New Japan, if Shelton Benjamin is a great shout, like, I think Shelton Benjamin would do great. I think that they really just can't pull in anybody who, this is going to sound so bad, like, you can't pull in stars. Because if you pull in, like, Swerve, for example, not saying Swerve's going to be in the G1, just an example, Swerve is going to overtake the G1. Like, that is going to take all the attention. But if you bring someone in who's, like, really well-respected, like Lance Archer, then your stars as New Japan get to shine. Because I think my worry is that we're kind of trending towards a spot where the New Japan AEW relationship is so strong. Mm-hmm. It's becoming so central to Western perception of New Japan that it's almost like it's Jack Perry. It's the Jack Perry and Jon Moxley show for American fans. Mm-hmm. And not that New Japan needs to cater to American fans, but I think if they build the next Will Ospreay, the next Okada, the next Tanahashi, so on and so forth, they'll be in a better spot and it'll be more sustainable for their Western expansion with, you know, New Japan Strong. Shout out TMDK. And that part of their creative. But losing Ospreay and Okada was such a big deal for them. Mm-hmm. So Moxley's there. He's reliable. He's going to carry the ship. The G1 is like the really big test for them. Not even Forbidden Door, because that's a dream match show. Like, we don't count her. She's just there for the most part. It's the G1. Who's going to come out of the G1 as in a better spot than they were before?
Are you the type during the G1 to just casually catch up? Or do you wait and watch it in the middle of the night? Or do you watch it the next day?
I have the blocks. And so I look at the matches. And if there's matches that I think are going to be important, I will stay up to watch those. But like anybody who watches a G1, like, you know what's going to be a quick little match, what's going to be a fun comedy match, like you know that. I just kind of gauge it as I go. But this year, I really do think this year is going to be a lot of fun. So I'm going to try to watch as many as I can live. I'm working over the summer, so I'm not sure like what my schedule will shape out to be. But I think that it's a super important turning point for New Japan. And where they have to make their own identity as a promotion again. Because even when Okada was there, it was Kenny Omega left. And they had, you didn't even talk about Jay White leaving.
Oh, yeah. And we didn't even talk about
it. Well, Okada was just such a major loss. But like, you remember when AEW had formed and it was this weird spot where New Japan was like, okay, we have Jay White, we have Ospreay, we have Okada, and we have Ibushi. So they're just going to wrestle each other over and over and over and over and over again. And that's it. And now all those guys aren't there. And they have Zack Sabre Jr. and they have Naito. But, like, they need to get them over the hump to the next spot. So,
I mean, they're shaping Gabe Kidd to be a legitimate threat. I mean, they're shaping Ren Narita?
Yeah.
How I say it. I'm really bad at learning things, and I love watching New Japan so I can learn more. He just got a big win this last week with Windy City Riot. But I think that there are plenty of people who could fit into those positions. I'm just anxious and waiting for it. So
this, I missed this because I was so invested in New Japan talk. Kate says, Rob was in here earlier and signed off as Rob. So, we know it's you, Kate. We recognize you.
You know what's funny? You know those people that when texting first came out, that they would do like a text message and then they would do dash their name? Every time I see people do that, I just think that's how they've been just signing off everything since 2020.
Especially like during the recession, and my sisters, we had like one government phone because it was at a point in time, I don't remember like what the program was called, but it was to help people get phones so that they could apply for jobs and whatever. And me and my sisters had one, and we used to have to sign off because we would be texting our friends or whatever, and they'd be like, they had to know it was us because they knew that we had all shared the phone. And I remember we had one of those phones where like you had to hit the numbers multiple times to get letters.
Yeah.
And it was just, listen, that was the time to be alive because you were so genuinely excited to be texting that it didn't matter. But now people text me and sometimes I'm like, oh, Colin's texted me or Kate or what have you. And then sometimes I'm like, yeah, ignore.
I am a chronic ADHD being on the spectrum type of person that if I open it and it says seen, it doesn't actually mean that it's seen. It just means that I wanted the notification to go away. So
same. And every day I have to be like, okay, what did I swipe? And I have to open and
it'll be 2 a.m. and I'll be like, oh no, Kylie texted me. Oh no. Do I reply back? It's like 5. Is that weird? Okay. Hey, I'm just seeing this. Sorry to reply.
And that's why I think me and Kate, we have a system where we just don't text each other. We only do voice memos. And I think that works out really well for us. I think that's the ADHD hack. I think we've hacked the system. But listen, there's a ton of people in wrestling media, and I don't, people in the chat probably know this. We all have ADHD. I don't know what happened. It's so true.
Yeah.
Like every time I'm talking to someone new in wrestling media, I'm like, yeah, I have ADHD, so I'm sorry I missed this message. Like, it's an object permanence time disorientation thing. And they're like, oh my God, me too. And I don't know what it is. Something about wrestling, I think, draws people with ADHD in. Yeah, it's true. Kaden says, yeah, it's true. And so, listen, if you have ADHD, just know this is your niche. We all do. I have it. So many people do. It's like the best. Maybe I'll do a poll. I'll do like, if you're investing,
oh my God,
I'll do like research on it. But anyway, back to wrestling. I don't even remember. Oh, we were talking about Moxley and the G1.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for the G1. I think it'll be fun. I'm excited for Scapegoat Jack Perry too. I don't want to dwell on it too much because I think that there's a lot of like negative connotation coming into it. But I do think that this is the best Jack Perry has been in a long time. And I think that if they didn't do the Scapegoat character and all the CM Punk adjacent stuff, it would have been the elephant in the room. So anytime you saw Jack Perry, like he'd be dipping and dodging and like
dipping and dodging.
around there's like this looming elephant in the room. We saw it with the Elite, and you know they teased some CM Punk stuff, but for the most part they didn't talk about CM Punk until this week, but we're not going to talk about that. And it was like looming over them like a dark cloud. So Jack Perry being literally embodying the character, I think is the best move for him, because he doesn't have like the longevity of Kenny Omega where he can just ignore that this happened. He's very much in, you know, the beginning of his career. So you can hate the Jack Perry character. Like, people hated it. People were saying it was a slap in the face to CM Punk, blah, blah, blah. But, like, he cannot ignore it. And they are really using it to get heat on Jack Perry. And it's just, and when he comes back to AEW, it's going to be so good. He's going to slot like right into the Hangman role in the Elite. Okada's in the Kenny Omega role, Jack Perry in the Hangman role, and we're going to be set. I'm excited.
I just miss Kenny Omega.
I miss Kenny so much. He streams on Twitch because he streams on Twitch on Fridays, if anybody didn't know that.
Yeah.
And he plays like Street Fighter and stuff, so not really games that I'm into, but I watch it anyway. And he's just so personable and he tells stories about wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I just miss him. Like, wrestling is not the same without Kenny Omega.
I agree. Absolutely. And there's not much more I can add to that. It just makes me want to go through the, because I've had a subscription to New Japan for, I don't know, 6 years. And now I just want to go back and watch all the things. So, all right. With that said, are we ready to jump into our next?
Yes. I wanted to talk about this because I thought this was so super cool. So I think we hit it. So backtrack. AEW had last night Collision and then Battle of the Belts.
Oh my God.
Whatever number Athena? It was.
Are we 10? Talking about Athena?
Yeah, we're talking about Athena. And there was matches, blah, blah, blah. But like the real takeaway, Athena back on AEW TV.
Woo!
And me and Collins, like one of the episodes, like we've done enough episodes now that I forget what each episode was. But we had talked about Athena being ROH champ coming to AEW TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened. And
they heard our prayers.
Athena is still ROH champ, still very much like embodying her ROH character. And wrestling Red Velvet. And this match was a great match. I think Athena really came across almost vicious in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's like, that's when Athena's at her best. Because Athena kind of gets this, I don't know what the word is. Because a lot of Athena's outside of wrestling, she's into like Game of Thrones and like nerdy stuff. Mm-hmm. People don't expect sort of like violence from Athena. So Athena came in to AWTV and I assume her thought process was, let's show out. And they show out. Red Velvet was great as well. Red Velvet's comeback has been fun to watch for me. Athena and Aminata was great. Kanan said, did anyone else notice Athena yelling F off to Aminata? I think that they're building that. Aminata's going to take Athena's title.
Absolutely. If she didn't get that TV title, way that, because not everybody watches Ring of Honor television. And if you know me, you know that I do a Ring of Honor post show over at OLE Podcast, our local establishment. Usually Kyle K. Sparks is on there, who is so much smarter than me. And I feel it's an honor to even be on a show with him. But lately he's been doing other things. So I've had to kind of fill in the shoes and do a lot more homework, which is, I get a little bit exhausted because I've already worked the whole day and I've done all the things. And I watch, because Ring of Honor starts at 4 p.m. my time, which is like when I'm getting off work. So sometimes I have to watch it twice because, you know, whatever. But the fact is, Queen Aminata has had actual promo segments and actual like video vignettes or whatever of her life. And they don't do those things. They don't put that time into her character and backstory unless that she's taking some title. And I thought maybe she might get the TV title and then it leads Billy to taking the title from Athena because she's hit her 50 now, 52 wins because she won last week on Ring of Honor and she won yesterday at Battle of the Belts. Sorry to spoil that for y'all. You should still go watch it though. It's on your DVRs probably for Battle of the Belts. But I think that she hit that over 50 wins and I thought that Billy was going to take the title from her, but they're building something else. So now we've kind of set up Queen Aminata to take that. And she's ready to fight every single week, just like Athena has been ready to battle every single week. And you might not watch Ring of Honor, but basically the women own that show. So it's just like Women of Honor. And sometimes men show up. So
sometimes men show up.
The men's champions seem to only show up on the pay-per-views and they're like, oh, okay. Do we even need to do a build up? No.
It's true. And like within that, Athena has really been like the champion of ROH. And so I don't know. So like Athena being on AEW TV, I'm assuming that they're just slowly going to integrate Athena into something. Hopefully Athena versus Willow is on the horizon. I think it would be interesting because Mercedes said that her first match is going to be Double or Nothing. It would be interesting if in the interim between Dynasty, which is next Sunday, and Double or Nothing, which is at the end of May, if Willow beats Julia Hart at Dynasty, which I'm assuming is going to happen.
It's
going to
happen, yeah.
To do Willow Athena. I think that would be a good time. And I think that it would be a good reintroduction of Athena to the AEW scene. And a good first feud for Willow to really show off that she isn't just this happy-go-lucky, bubbly woman who just wants to be friends with Chris Statlander and is really sad and to reach up to Athena and be in that violent space. We saw some of that in the street fight, but I think Willow's potential, I don't think Willow has even reached her potential. I'm excited about it. Yeah, like Mark Briscoe will be on AWTV more than ROH. Mark Briscoe is wrestling at AW Dynasty. He's in that six-man with Adam Copeland and Eddie against House of Black. Which is going to be fine.
It's going to be a fine match, but like, why would I tag with the person that I was just in a
I'd rather have Adam Copeland versus Brody King in a TNT title match. Like, I'd rather have that. But it's fine. Beggars can't be choosers, and this card is stacked. So, and it's stacked with, like, really strong singles matches.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not complaining. Because, like, Toni Storm is wrestling Thunder Rosa, which is going to be lights out. So good.
I mean, with how many Toni Storm matches we've seen where they're tagging together as Thunderstorm to, like, losing the title to Thunder Rosa going off television. And now I just feel like there's a fire in Thunder Rosa that wasn't there when she returned that I'm.
Yeah.
Put the heat on it. Also, I have a question after like watching Collision. So that segment with Thunder Rosa. So I feel like sometimes they don't do like the ring interview type thing, that they've been doing them on stage with the crowd behind.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? Like, the way that they're angling it? I mean, I'm guessing that it's, like, they're not facing a crowd, so maybe it's a little bit more intimate for them to have that conversation with the crowd reacting in the back. But what do you think about it?
I've been enjoying them only because I think that you get to see more of the vibe of the crowd. And I think mm-hmm. I think if you're there, obviously, it's a little bit awkward to just, like, stare at the back of someone while they're on camera. That's a little
scary. Yeah.
But I do think that I like that more than them being in the ring mm-hmm. and sort of just standing there in front of the hard cam and doing it mm-hmm. that way. I think mm-hmm. it's a little bit more, I guess, immersive. Like, I feel like I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that for the in-person crowd, it might be a little strange.
Yeah, I agree.
In the AEW shows I've been to, because the last one I went to was Revolution, they didn't do that there. So I haven't had that experience. But
yeah.
And I do like it more than the backstage ones. I like that they're...
I don't like the backstage ones at all.
Yeah. I mean, backstage promos can be good. But like for me, what I prefer for a backstage promo is like a sit-down interview. I really liked... JR did them a lot. Now Alex Marvez is doing them and Tony Schiavone. I like those a lot more than like a drive-by, you know, Thunder Rosa, come stand in front of this backdrop and tell us how you're going to beat Toni Storm. It's good. It's fine. I like to see the crowd. I like to be part of the experience. And I think that's what they're going for. Cause like UFC does some of those, Bellator does some of those like promos in front of the crowd. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see like if they stick with it or if they keep going. Mm-hmm. But speaking of Dynasty, do you want me to just run down this card so you can feel the scope of how insane this is?
I need it. And okay. We should talk about it.
So we have Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson. Okada versus Pac. Samoa Joe versus Swerve. FTR versus the Young Bucks. Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly. Thunder Rosa versus Toni Storm. Julia Hart versus Willow Nightingale. Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe versus House of Black. That is only AEW could do.
That's that. Only
this roster is insane. Could be like my favorite match of the night. Mm-hmm. Any one of them. Also two women's matches on the main card. Just throwing that out there. Shout out the women's division. We're in a good. Mike says Bullet Club Gold versus the Acclaimed should also be on the card.
No.
If we could like wrap that up, then I would like that to be on the card. I am so sick. And this is going to sound so sad because I'm such a fan. I'm so sick of the Acclaimed. I'm just over it.
I don't know. Like, I understand that Max Caster is the more personality of the group or whatever. But the fact that like he's just trolling people online, he uses his platform to basically be what I would think is an 18-year-old boy. Right? Someone who is like stuck in the Blink-182, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is all comedy to me. I don't like that. That's not for me. I am not the audience for that. And I mean, you see my scissor is right there. Like, I liked the Acclaimed when they were hot, and now they're just,
and it's entirely for me, it's entirely Max Caster.
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird that he's doing this on Twitter, and then he has this Twitter character that he's the best wrestler alive, right? And he says all these like edgy things, like he's such a cool kid. And then that isn't translating to TV.
Right.
Like, why is just the Acclaimed? Like that, they're just the Acclaimed. And the feud is basically between Billy Gunn and his sons. Like that's the story. And so I don't know what is going on with that. I genuinely do not see the point. I think Bullet Club Gold versus the Acclaimed should have been on a Collision or something, or Dynamite. Wrap it up, unify the titles with a bow. Bullet Club Gold goes, wrestles anyone.
Anyone else.
Okada and the Young Bucks.
Right. Anyone else, please.
Anyone else. And then the Acclaimed, they go away. You can repackage them. You can like let, you know, fans grow to miss them. You could do an Anthony Bowens single run. You could do a whole lot with the Acclaimed. Like, they are very talented. But for whatever reason, we're in this spot. So I don't know. And I do love Bullet Club Gold. I really was afraid of the Guns being part of Bullet Club Gold. Like, when it first came out, I was like, oh.
Same.
I was like, but they've really like risen to the occasion. I've been really impressed with the Guns. And Jay White is always impressive. Like,
it down to their entrance is where I start crying.
Yes.
Like, I just want to know, like,
they're so strong, like as a presence.
Right.
Like, not just performers. It's like the way that they enter. And they immediately take all of your attention.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, there aren't a lot of wrestlers that just by their entrance, I'm crying, right? Like, I loved Cody coming up through, you know, the little elevator thing when he was in AEW. Like, seeing that paralleled in WrestleMania was just like, that, like, those kind of entrances make me cry. But it's the fact that the moment that they come on, those lights go black, there is that spotlight, and they just start doing the panoramic, you know, whatever. And I do miss Juice Robinson being, you know, Mr. Honeycomb Crunch or whatever. Whatever that cereal is, right? Honeycomb?
Honeycombs,
Yeah, Honeycombs. That, just seeing that parallel of, like, the absolute feral behavior of Juice Robinson, I love it, and I can't wait till he returns. But the Guns are so solid. They've quickly improved from when they were simply enhancement talents, in my opinion, back during the Daily's Place days. And Jay White is always fantastic. I got my tits out for Jay White always. So
I love Jay White. I am such a big fan. And I was always someone who liked Jay White, but I always felt like he was kind of overshadowed by Ospreay in a lot of ways because they were both like of the same generation and both like people who fans had assumed would be quote unquote the next Kenny Omega or, you know, the next what have you. And so I think they both were hurt by being in that position as beneath Kenny Omega, having to try to like reach that standard. But now they're both in AEW, and they're both like on two completely different paths. But I think that they're both doing great things. And so I think once this Acclaimed story is wrapped up and the Acclaimed go off and do whatever, I think Bullet Club Gold is going to be in a really, really great spot. And I would love it if it eventually led to Jay White get finally wrestling Adam Cole. Finally. Kenny Omega.
Is he? He's not cleared, is he?
Adam Cole? I don't think so. I don't think so yet. But he should be relatively soon. I would think. I mean, granted, I don't know the nature of his injury and I'm not a doctor, but I would think so. And the J.Y. Adam Cole story has been building for ages, literal years.
Yeah.
Like before Jay White was even in AEW. And so I'm excited. I would love for that match to happen. And there's so many other ones, like so many Jay White matches that would just knock it out of the park. Like the list is endless and he's been stuck in the Acclaimed vortex for so long. It's driving me crazy. But Dynasty, I think, to move on from Jay White before we, you know, spiral.
I was about to expire. I don't know why. I'm just going to pass away here.
Like this card is, like you could have a card that was mid matches and then put one of these on there. And
You're not wrong though. I mean,
like, all of these matches, like all of these are main events to me.
I mean, not to mention that the Young Bucks versus FTR is going to be a freaking ladder match now.
Oh my goodness. I was, when that was the result of the tournament, I was, I'm not gonna lie, I was low-key disappointed. I was like,
I mean, I wanted it to be Top Flight as well. Like, yes. I feel like that would have been so great. I think that Top Flight did lose a little momentum when Dante went out with his
ankle.
It's still in the back of my brain. Yeah. Sorry. You just almost saw me like gag for a second. Sorry about that. Sorry. So I think that that would have given them a little bit more momentum. And I went on a little rant about this this last week on ROH television because I don't know if Top Flight is a duo or a trios at this point, because Action Andretti, is he not in Top Flight? Or do they have a different name?
Action Andretti beat Chris Jericho and then disappeared.
Well, he's it's not that he disappeared. It's that he's part of Top Flight and he's actually getting the pins on all of their wins in ROH, which is like, okay, we're supposed to be thinking that Action Andretti is like maybe their big brother. Maybe like he's, I'm filling in the gaps and I want to be told the story and they're not telling me the story. So I'm like, I guess this is what this is. But I'm all for Top Flight. Like, give me more Top Flight. Like, I loved their matches with Penta and Rey Fénix. So why can't we keep going, you know?
And the thing is, like, you could have had this tag title match be Private Party and Top Flight, the Next Generation.
Yeah.
The Young Bucks FTR could have been built solely around the footage.
Right. Like, we said we weren't going to talk.
Young Bucks have shown the footage. FTR could have been like, hey, that's so super unnecessary. Like, this is wrestling, blah, 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 whatever purist stuff that, the, you know, FTR is going to talk about. And you could have done a blood feud based on that. You don't need that story because it's a tag tournament. The story's already there. You could have done Private Party Top Flight. I feel like it was an open shot to build the next generation of tag stars. But, Kate is back and talking about TMDK and who won the New Japan Strong tag title. So.
Woo! If you really want to watch that match, just go over to the New Japan little subscription. It is a little bit difficult in some regard because it, unless you have the translation already set up in your browser like I do, you have to figure out... navigate the website in Japanese, but I think it's up there. I think I got like a little notification. You can go watch it. That was a great match, a great tag team match. And here's the thing.
We did it.
I think Mikey knew that we were watching him because there were moments where he like would look over his shoulder and I'm like, You know the Jacket Squad is watching you.
The TMDK squad is growing daily. They're constantly quote tweeting like, "Yeah, you can join. Yeah, you can join. Is someone keeping a roster? I'm having trouble keeping up.
I think Kate should, because Kate's the one who's bullying everyone into getting the jacket. And when I say bully, I don't mean it in a negative connotation. I think that there is healthy bullying. And this is a healthy bullying.
We need an Excel spreadsheet, Kate. Thank you for coming back in the chat, because now I know you're here and we can tell you to do it.
We are inspiring a community. So we are.
We are. Mm-hmm. But Team DK, shout out. And okay. I also think Team DK is, and I don't want to use the word pillar because it's like such a thing now. It's like a mm-hmm. pillar trademark, like it's its own thing. But they're like a centerpiece for New Japan's future moving forward.
Okay, but like whoever wins the tournament, the ladder match versus TMDK at Forbidden Door.
Tony Khan, take notes.
Take notes, Tony. Hello. I would fly out to Long Island. Well, technically I'd be flying out to Newark because it's the only airport that I'll go to. But
the airports up there aren't rough. They're all pretty rough, not gonna lie.
People have tried to convince, okay, I lived in New Jersey for 10 years. It's basically like where I grew up. So when people try to convince me that LaGuardia, because you have three main ones, right? You have LaGuardia, you have JFK, and you have Newark. Mm-hmm. Newark is in New Jersey. So it's not like as like accessible for some people. It kind of would be out of the way if you're trying to go to Queens, you know, why mm-hmm. wouldn't you just go to LaGuardia? But LaGuardia is trash. True. Every time my flight was delayed when I would be visiting, you know, my family out here in Washington, always delayed. Whenever I would fly to my, you know, my grandma's in Florida, always delayed. So like, and I've only flown out of JFK to do international flights because JFK is just so scary to me.
And I've flown into Newark many times.
Yeah.
Because I've gone to a lot of AW shows in Newark.
Yeah.
I think like a couple, I don't even remember what shows. One was a Full Gear, I think, at some point. Mm-hmm. Anyway. And the air, okay, it's not like the nicest airport, but most airports are not nice. Like anybody who travels a lot, you know, most airports suck. But Newark, I think, is the less stressful. Like,
I
know,
even get out. So
yeah, I know where I'm going. Like, it's so simple. And mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of, like, Atlanta's a really big airport. Mm-hmm. But they've done a lot to, you know, streamline how to get around that airport. It's, like, so super easy. LaGuardia? No. Never flown into JFK, so I can't say anything about JFK. But Newark Airport, underrated, shout out. Not the nicest. Never going to win any awards for beauty.
No.
But it's like, it's smaller. It's easy. Like, there's signs that tell you where to go when they're not in the wrong place. Like, it's good.
I'm not the type of, like, some people like going to the airport to, like, experience the airport, right?
Yeah.
I don't know who those people are because I'm not one of them. The last thing I want to do is be around people. especially when I don't know their motives, right? So I go to the airport and the last thing I want to do is spend any more time than I need to. So I'm going in and I want to go out. I want to get there safely and I want to get there on time because if you as so interrupt, like, and make me have to be flexible, I have to practice my coping skills because for someone who's like neurodivergent, like, I just think unending doom.
So. Yeah. I don't mind airports. So like if it's the Tampa airport, which is the airport I normally fly out of, mm-hmm. love that airport. Miami airport and Orlando airport, garbage. Tampa's the airport, Florida, like by far. I don't mind being in the airport. I love being on airplanes. Something about like the hum of the engine and like the sound of like the air, I just fall asleep every time. I'll be in like the middle seat, just like knocked out.
I'm so glad for you.
It's like I am like being rocked to sleep. It's like the white noise. Like, I don't, is anybody else like this? Maybe someone in the chat knows that they're like this. But there's been a couple times where like I'm just like completely passed out and I wake up with the landing, like the jolt of the landing.
It's, I think that
it's my secret talent.
Planes are fun because you kind of learn who people are without like instant technology, right? I know that more and more more and more planes have Wi-Fi, but it's that regard of like relying on their entertainment or you have to make your own entertainment. And I love traveling with people who like playing like little card games. So I'll bring like Uno, or I'll bring like, we have this game called Slam Witch where, we're not talking about wrestling anymore. So Slam Witch is like, you're basically trying to make a stacked sandwich. So somebody, they're face down. So you don't know what's happening, right? You can't like plan out the sandwich, but you're just putting toppings. And the moment someone has a card that they put on top, that is the end of the bread, you have to slap it. And then you get those cards. And the goal is to get all the cards.
I don't think I've ever played this, but now
I'm going to send you it and we have to play it. So,
okay, we will. some people in the chat talking about Jamie Hader. I missed Jamie Hader. Hader's been gone for an entire year. Yeah. Well, to be fair, Jamie Hader's injury was like pretty serious.
Yeah. I think there was an update on Fightful not long ago that they thought it was more like less severe than it was, which has kind of backtracked a lot of the progress. So
I think everybody wants Jamie Hader back, especially with like how good the women's division is now. Like, you introduced Jamie Hader back into the mix and there's so many directions to go. I don't know which one I like more. Like Jamie versus Mercedes. Banger. Jamie versus Athena. Jamie versus Tony. Thunder Rosa. Deonna Purrazzo. Julia Hart. Willow Nightingale. Chris Statlander. Like, there's so many ways to go. And, like, it's such a good time to like women's wrestling.
Yeah.
Cyber says, I miss Big E too. Yeah. Well, Big E did update his, I don't know. You're going to have to go look at his tweet because I don't want to misspeak on his, you know, medical situation. But he's not cleared to come back. But, like, he's content with, you know, he may never be cleared again, but like he's content with being alive. And like, you know, I think he's healing emotionally from, you know, such a traumatic thing that happened to him. But again, I don't want to speak on his medical stuff because I don't want to say it wrong and misspeak. So go to his Twitter and, you know, figure it out yourself. But yeah, we all miss Big E. The New Day was for a long time my favorite thing in WWE. And Big E was a big part of that. So shout out Big E. Where were we going with this? I don't remember, but AW Dynasty is going to be a banger.
Shout out to everyone going to St. Louis. That's where it is.
I think so. Right.
Let me go ahead and take a look. It is in St. Louis, Missouri.
Heck yeah.
How do you say that? Shai Fez? Somebody tell me. What?
I don't know. How do you... Anybody from Missouri here? Let me know.
Shai... C-H-A-I-F-E-T-Z.
Shai Fez?
That's how the internet says to say it. Shai Fez. Interesting.
I don't know what that is. But
have you ever been to St. Louis?
I have not. My sister and I were going to go back when I think it was a Full Gear was going to be there, but then they moved it because of the UFC show and went to Minneapolis. We were going to go there because we have family that lives there and it was, you know, going to be an easy trip. But they moved it because of the UFC, so we didn't get to go.
I remember all of that.
Yeah, speaking of that day.
My gosh. Speaking of which, I'm debating whether or not we want to go to Double or Nothing.
Double or Nothing is a fun time because of Vegas.
Right.
And it's like AW fans do take over the city. Like And any pay-per-view you go to, like, AW fans, they, like, if you want to do something touristy, you'll find AW fans. Like, they,
yeah. They make that
thing. But, like, I went, did I go last year or did I go the year before? I don't remember. I went to a Double or Nothing in Jacksonville. And then maybe the next, I don't remember. It doesn't, that timing doesn't matter. But it's a lot of fun. It really is. And the arena is really nice. So that's definitely a benefit.
All right, I gotta make my decision here. I mean, we did just get like some really cool. Instead of asking for gifts for a wedding, we asked for like money for an actual honeymoon. Mm-hmm. And we do want to go to Japan eventually, but I feel like with my dogs, I don't think I could do it. Like, I don't think I could go for it because. You're not just going to go for a couple days. You're going to go for
a long
like
time,
2 weeks, right? And I don't know if I could leave Vegas my dogs.
There's a lot of like really gimmicky tourist stuff in Vegas, but like there's a lot of really good. Yeah, I love the gimmicky tourist stuff. Like a Hollywood Cars Museum that's so gimmicky and touristy, but it's such a good time. There's the M&M store. There's obviously casinos, but I don't gamble. There's like a lot of really great, just outside of Vegas, a lot of really great nature walks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. So
we'll see.
It would be a good trip. The other AEW shows, because AEW really released like their whole pay-per-view schedule.
Yes, their whole
so
schedule.
Weird for AEW, but I'm glad that they did that. Mm-hmm. They're returning to a lot of the same towns again.
Can I just go on a little rant? Okay. Yeah. So I don't know what's going on with AEW, but specifically in the Washington State area, I just want to remind everyone that Seattle proper is very different than SeaTac Airport, which is like just like any other city, which is like 20 to 30 minutes outside the city. So when you have these shows, right, there is a show that's going to be in Washington State in May for Dynamite. It's in Everett. You look at a map and you go, oh, that's just like 30 to 40 minutes outside of the city. That happens like Hoffman Estates, 30, 40 minutes outside of Chicago. That's not the issue. It's the fact that Washington State sucks at public transportation. There are so many other cities that have outstanding public transportation. I mean, every time that people have shows in the New York City metro area, I'm like, that's like the mecca, right, of all like public transportation. And the United States really needs to like figure their ish out. But in order to go from Seattle proper to Everett, if you do not have a car, you have to transfer to an adjacent city. Because that's where the transfer center is. Then you have to catch another bus. There's no trains. There's no nothing that goes up that far. So you're SOL if you're trying to do that, especially on a weekend, because they go on weekend things, right? Wrestle Dream is going to be in Tacoma. There is no bus line from Seattle to Tacoma on the weekends, to my knowledge, from people that I know. So people that I usually go to shows with don't have vehicles or don't have reliable transportation to Tacoma. Tacoma is 40 minutes south. It is closer to Aberdeen, Washington. It is the hometown of Swerve, but it is not Seattle. And a lot of wrestling fans live in the Seattle area, cannot go to these shows that are outside of the city of Seattle because there's no weekend transportation. And that sucks because our city really focuses on sports. They don't really focus on like other venues, especially outside of the city. So sure, if you live in Seattle, you could easily go to the football stadium or the baseball stadium or figure out your way to Climate Pledge, which is where like the Seattle Storm, the women's basketball team plays. There are concerts there. It's easy to do that when you live in the city. But for some reason, they're doing these shows, one in Everett, which is north, 30 to 40 minutes, and one is south, 40 to 50 minutes. And there's always construction, and there's always a bunch of cars. Mm-hmm. That I get people's anger when it's AW going, oh, we're live in Chicago, but it's Hoffman Estates, right?
Yeah.
There's no public transportation. The Uber and all of those are surge pricing. It just sucks. And I wish that we didn't have a society that relied on cars as the transportation. So when I made that comment of like, why Tacoma? Tacoma is not the best place to be late night because they have a higher crime rate, I'm sure, than Seattle. Like it just kind of sucks altogether. Because at least with Seattle, you get like the pretty, you know, Seattle yeah. skyline. You get the Space mm-hmm. Needle in the background. But I don't know. I'm just kind of annoyed. And I know that there are other venues that are on this list that aren't like the main city proper. They're kind mm-hmm. of outside. And I think that AW is doing something to try to fill up smaller venues. And I don't know.
It might have been Joel Pearl. I can't remember. Someone talked about this, like AEW constantly doing like suburb towns of
big yeah. cities
and stuff like that. And I guess maybe it's because business wise, it's probably cheaper. Like, I don't really know. But like, if you've ever been to an AEW pay-per-view, know that it's not, for the most part, most of the crowd, it's not just people who live there. Like, people yeah. travel for AEW pay-per-views. People travel mm-hmm. like a long way for AEW pay-per-views. And so it's difficult to justify a trip for an AEW pay-per-view if it's in a city that has nothing there. Like, yeah. like that was the big thing about Hoffman Estates, and which I'm glad they moved it to like actual Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, Hoffman Estates is nothing. There's some hotels for people who are staying in Chicago, like
yeah.
in Chicago, and there's like chain restaurants and like a movie theater and just some stuff like that. There's nothing that you can do there. And so it's hard to justify the trip for All Out if you go and you stay in Hoffman Estates and the only thing you're doing is that show because it's too much money to get into Chicago. Because like there's buses, but Hoffman Estates and like some of the other suburbs, like it's touch and go whether it's actually going yeah. to work or not. So I don't know. But I do think that I might be able to make Full Gear in November, fingers crossed. Because
that's in Newark? Yeah.
Yeah, that's in Newark. Because I won't be able to make Forbidden Door because I am working. And then can't do Double or Nothing. All In is no because I cannot travel because it's the start of like a new semester and so I can't just be like yeah I need to take the first week off because yeah, I know that like my students need me but like I have to take off so that I can go watch wrestling
yeah geez
but yeah, AW Dynasty, like I'm fine with AW adding more shows and mm-hmm. especially I hate the term like B level, but like secondary pay-per-views between the big ones. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with it. And I think Dynasty is, they're really promoting it as like, this is a new era of AEW. We're establishing our dynasty. We're doing all these sort of things. And like talent are saying it explicitly. So I'm excited about it. I think it'll be good. We'll talk more about it next week, probably, because we'll have like the fully solidified card and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, do you have any closing thoughts?
There's a lot of cool shit going on in wrestling. I think that you should watch what you want to watch and you shouldn't pay attention to, I don't know, accounts that all they do is bash wrestling or bash other content creators. I think that we need to, I'm speaking to myself, I need to focus more on like, okay, this is how I want to spend my time. This is how I should spend my time because your time is precious. Your money is precious. Your sanity is precious. So just take care of yourself, drink water, and watch the wrestling and content that you want to watch. Like me, I didn't want to watch any wrestling really after Wednesday, I said, no, I don't want to do that. You know what I did? I watched Vanderpump Rules because I wanted some drama.
Perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
Watch the content you want to watch, and you don't always have to watch wrestling.
I sign off on that. When I watch wrestling, I watch it because I want to, and I want to be mm-hmm. there to see it. I don't watch wrestling that I know is not going to interest me. And it's remarkable what that does for your love of wrestling and your mental health. So many people, like, not even just wrestling fans, like, they just hate watch wrestling.
I don't get
it. Like, they never like anything, and they're just so annoying and, like, bitter about everything that they see. So I'm like, go watch something else.
Like,
you know what? There's no one, like, sitting here saying, yeah, you need to watch wrestling or else. What do you think's gonna happen? Oh, you skip AEW a week, you skip WWE, you don't watch New Japan. Oh, the boogeyman's gonna get you. Like, no, let's just be, like, responsible with our wrestling viewership, and also responsible with the way that we talk to each other on Twitter, because some of you this week were a little crazy. It was like the vitriol on Twitter about 30 seconds of backstage security camera footage or like someone's entrance was absurd. Like, the way that you speak to people mm-hmm. is a reflection of like the way that you feel about yourself. And so, like, I wish nothing but health and wellness and peace for everybody, mm-hmm. but we need to start being more responsible with the way that we speak to each other. That's all.
Absolutely.
I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Do you have anything to plug before we wrap up?
You can just watch this channel every Sunday, where you'll find our beautiful faces crying about wrestling. And then you can find me Thursdays over at the OLE podcast. You can always find that in my link tree on my social medias of how to watch that every Thursday at, for me, 7:15 Pacific Standard Time, but it is 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I don't know. Is EST, PST? I don't know. I don't know. Did I say it right? I don't know. My brain is kind of spaghetti right now. Just remember to drink water, guys, because there is a post-WrestleMania weekend depression that happens. And we're going into more and more pay-per-views and all the things. Just treat your body right. If your body is telling you to go to sleep and not watch the wrestling, just do that.
Yes. Watching wrestling does not need to be a stressful endeavor.
Absolutely.
And there are people in wrestling media, it has to be for them because they grind hard for cake work. Shout out Jeremy Lambert. But like, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Like, so many people, they're like, oh, they like showed their itinerary for the weekend. And I'm just like, what are you doing?
That's a lot.
There's so much wrestling every week. It's honestly reaching kind of insane level. Wrestling that is like worth watching, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that wrestling is thriving right now. I guess like that is my ultimate final thought. I love that wrestling's in a really good spot and like people are coming back to watch wrestling. But you can follow me on Twitter at Kylie Wrestling. Apparently my Twitter gimmick is that I'm a hater, but I don't think I'm a hater. I think I'm just me. I'm not mean, unless you're mean to me, then I will be mean to you. My friends will be mean to you because sometimes they catch me. And that is crazy. Sometimes I'll come back to my mentions and it's like, duh, 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 all my friends just.
That's me. I'm yeah, in there.
You know? So sometimes mean. It's Kate. Sometimes it's Sean. Sometimes it's Kaden. Sometimes it's Mike. It's just da 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 da. And you know,
I love it.
I don't remember where. Oh, plugs. This is Wrestling Made Me Cry. This is what we're talking about. the positive aspects of wrestling. You start selling the hater merch and make so much money. I don't want to brand myself as a hater though, Kaden. Like that. I am a proud hater. And when something is bad, I will say that it's bad. This reminds me. Kate says, Kylan here, Team Decay Orange. We love to see it. It's a Camp Half-Blood shirt. I wanted to wear it in honor of Adam Copeland, the star of Camp Half-Blood of the Percy Jackson show. He plays Ares. I wore this specifically for that reason and then totally forgot because I wanted to tell Collins.
I love it.
Until this world, yeah, Camp Half-Blood.
I'm just wearing my Mel Coleman shirt. So
I love Mel Coleman. I love Mel Coleman. If you haven't seen the Percy Jackson show, I suggest everyone watch it. Adam Coleman is really great in it.
Fine.
I've only watched
it four times.
He has like a minor role. He plays Ares, but like he's really good as Ares. Anyway, back to the plug. We talk about the positive aspects of wrestling. We're live every Sunday at noon Eastern. We'll be live next week. Probably going to talk about AEW Dynasty because I'm excited for the card. Probably going to talk about some other cool stuff. Probably going to talk about some nonsense.
We can do predictions next week if we want to.
Yeah, if you would like to see that, let us know. I think that would be fun. This is Fightful Overbooked. There's a lot of great shows here on Fightful Overbooked, including co-hosting with Rob and Maggie, which I always shout them out because for whatever reason, they're so underrated. So go watch co-hosting. And there's some other stuff like Jeremy does some shows, but listen, wrestling made me cry in co-hosting and then you got yourself covered. I don't mean that. I instantly felt bad. I love Jeremy.
Yeah, you should feel bad.
They do In the Weeds. It's a really great show. There's FMC. There's like so many shows. So just like go to the playlists and then just scroll until you find something that you want to see. But Fightful Overbooked, subscribe, like this video.
Yeah, like, share, subscribe.
Yeah, like,
send it to a friend.
Yeah. And also, yeah, let us know about the predictions because sometimes predictions, like, it's touch and go. People want to hear about your predictions, but they want to be involved. So, like, let us know, like, if we did an AEW Dynasty predictions episode, what would you want that to look like for you? All that being said, we'll see you next week, noon, Sunday, exactly almost a week from now. This was a long episode. We're not our people.
No.
Most shows, they aim for an hour, but well, we can't do that, I don't think. I don't think that's in the cards for us.
I like that we ramble a little bit. It makes it more personable, and I love getting to know you more, Kylie.
Yes. So. I love getting to know everybody in our chat, especially Kate, who was here as Fightful the whole time, not as Kate.
Fightful wrestling with Sean Rossap.
Yeah, like... Is this Kate? Oh, I don't know. It's Fightful. But Kate has a YouTube. So go check out Kate's YouTube as well. I don't have the link to it, but go find it somewhere. Anyway.
We'll find it. All
right. Thank you guys so much for watching. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye. Happy wrestling.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.